Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In September of 2018, just barely over a year ago, there was an African-American man by the name of Botham Jean who was sitting in his apartment eating ice cream when an off-duty Dallas police officer by the name of Amber Geiger, who lived in the apartment directly below his, on the floor just below his, well, she entered into his apartment by mistake and mistook him for a burglar and shot him dead. Last week, Amber Geiger was convicted of murder with special circumstances, acknowledging some of the unique circumstances that happened there. So she was convicted of murder with special circumstances and given 10 years in prison. The brother of Botham, the man who was killed, he was there at the victim's impact panel at the sentencing hearing in court. His name is Brant. He's 18 years old. And I want to show you a video of what Brant had to say when he was given a chance to address Ms. Geiger.
I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone can say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't going to ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes a holy moment makes it onto the news. Sometimes Christ Jesus shows up on ABC. I think what we have seen here is nothing short of a miracle. After the horror of losing a beloved brother in such a tragic way, with all of the racial tensions simmering just beneath the surface, Brant Jean did something that seems to many people to be impossible. He forgave. When the disciples asked Jesus to increase our faith, this didn't come out of the blue. It just wasn't a random question that they thought of while they were traveling down the road. They asked Jesus to increase their faith because Jesus had just asked them to do something that seemed impossible. Right before they asked Jesus to increase their faith, Jesus said to them, "Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke him. If there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and they turn back to you and repent 7 times, you must forgive." No wonder they say, "Increase our faith, Lord." Jesus is asking them to do something that seemed to them to be impossible. You want us to forgive? Even if the same person comes back to us 7 times in one day, you want us to forgive like that? Now, it's important to note here that the offender is to be rebuked. There's an expectation of repentance there that Jesus mentions. It's not as though there are zero consequences. Jesus isn't telling his disciples to be doormats. But even so, Jesus is calling his followers to do something that seemed to them to be impossible. He's calling them to be people of complete and perfect forgiveness. That's where this seven times business comes in. When Jesus says even 7 times forgive, he's not inviting them to like keep track or keep a list, like 1, 2, 3, oh, there, 7 strikes, you're out. That's not what Jesus is saying here. In the Bible, the number 7 represents completeness. It represents perfection. And so Jesus is calling his followers to be people of complete and perfect forgiveness. No wonder they're asking him to increase their faith. It seemed to be an impossible thing to ask. But Jesus says it is not impossible. Not with faith, it's not. And you don't even need a lot of faith, Jesus says. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. This is an obviously absurd illustration that Jesus is putting out there to merely illustrate the fact that faith can do amazing things. Even a small bit of faith can do what seems to be impossible. Not that faith is magic. We don't want to think of it in that way. Faith is not like the Force. You know, you might, when this mulberry tree being uprooted, you might be tempted to think of Luke Skywalker by the Force raising the X-Wing fighter out of the bog in Dagobah, right? Anybody with me there? No? Faith isn't magic. You can't literally uproot a mulberry tree by having faith. But Jesus says that even with a little bit of faith, you can do what I'm calling you to do. Even if it seems to you to be impossible. That's because faith is not a matter of trusting in ourselves. It's not a matter of trusting in our own power or strength or ability. Christian faith means putting our trust in Christ. It's not even a matter of how much faith we have, but it's where we put it. And when we put it in Jesus, when we look to Jesus as our Lord and Master, when we realize how indebted to Him we are for our salvation, well, then we just begin to naturally serve Him. We begin to do the things that He calls us to do. That's really what this parable is about that we hear in the second part of our reading for today. It's a parable that's often troubling to modern ears because Jesus sounds like he's making really casual references to slavery. But it's really important that we keep in mind that the slavery Jesus is talking about is not the violent, race-based slavery that we experience in such a dark chapter of our own history as Americans. This is something different. Slavery in Jesus' time was more an indentured servitude. Sometimes that word slave or slavery is translated as bondservant, which I think captures things a little bit better. It's a relationship where a servant is indebted to their master. Maybe they paid for some kind of training in a trade, or maybe they were owing something to their master in some other way, and the masters would provide material support in exchange for the work that they would do. Then they were obligated. They were indebted to that master. And so these indentured servants, these bond servants, they serve their masters because they were indebted to them, because that's what they were called to do. They weren't expecting appreciation, they weren't expecting thanks, they weren't expecting favors. It's just how the relationship worked. So the point Jesus is making here, I think, in this little parable is really, I think, quite simple. Jesus is telling his disciples that they are able to serve him, they are to serve him, they're to do what he has called them to do, simply because they are his people. Simply because they are indebted to him. So they shouldn't expect a certificate of appreciation. They shouldn't expect special treatment. They shouldn't expect rewards. Jesus' people are to forgive because he has forgiven them. Jesus' followers are to forgive because that's what Jesus' people do. So who is it that you might need to forgive today? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone who hurt you or someone who hurt someone that you love. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a former friend. Maybe it's someone that you should have been able to trust. Remember that forgiveness does not mean ignoring the wrong done to you. Jesus says himself, there's a place for rebuking and repentance. Forgiveness does not mean there are no consequences. But forgiveness does mean letting go of the anger. Forgiveness does mean seeking reconciliation whenever that might be possible. Forgiveness does mean giving up those grudges that you hold on to so very tightly. So what grudge might God be inviting you to let go of today so that you might seek reconciliation? Maybe it's with someone right here in this congregation. You know, there's a beautiful moment built right into the service, right into the liturgy that's for that purpose. We call it the passing of the peace. We don't always treat it like that. It's often treated in church like the seventh inning stretch. You get up, you move around, you kind of stretch a little bit. You might say good morning to the people around you, and that's fine. That's how it is for most people most of the time. But that's not its intent. Its original intent was so that the people of God might seek reconciliation with each other before they dare to come up to this table to receive reconciliation from God. The passing of the peace really is a time for the kind of embracing that we saw in that video. Forgiveness means bearing with people as they sin against us again and again and again. It means looking past those flaws that annoy us on a daily basis. It means forgiving over and over again, loving people in spite of their quirks and their flaws and their sins. For instance, I have been loading the dishwasher incorrectly for 23 years straight. And my wife somehow finds it in her heart to continue to love and forgive me. Sometimes forgiveness means that. But other times forgiveness means something much more difficult. Sometimes forgiveness means telling the woman who shot and killed your brother while he was eating ice cream in his apartment that you love her and that you forgive her and that you want what's best for her. Sometimes it means going to someone who has taken something precious from you in inviting them to give their life to Christ, where there is forgiveness. Sometimes forgiveness means going to someone that you hate. And it means letting go of that hate and instead going to them with a hug, with an embrace. This kind of complete and perfect forgiveness seems impossible. It seems about as likely as us saying to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it obeying us. It seems absurd. It seems impossible. But with faith in Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. You don't even need a lot of faith to do it. Just a mustard seed's worth of faith is enough for Jesus to work with it. It cracks open the door for him to come in and go to work on us. This complete and perfect forgiveness is hard. Sometimes it's an ongoing process and not just a one-and-done kind of thing. But it's not impossible, my friends. We forgive because we have been forgiven. We embrace others with grace because in spite of all that we have done, our Lord Jesus has told us that he loves us and forgives us. In spite of all that we have done to him on the cross, Jesus' arms are open to us. He embraces us with love and with mercy. We forgive because Christ is in us through faith, moving our hearts to extend to others the forgiveness that we ourselves have received. We forgive because we belong to Him. And that's just what His people do. Amen. I want you to stand as you're able as we sing our hymn of the day. Let's just sing the first two verses of this hymn, verses 1 and 2 of hymn 597.